Would you bow your heads with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, a wonderful day that we can share in your love and your peace. Father, we thank you for being able to see your Son, Jesus Christ, that dwells among us, didn't stay up there in the heavenly realm, but came down to be among us and to share your peace and your love. Lord, we ask your blessing upon this message. The words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts would be pleasing in your sight. O Christ, who is our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Today is a great day. It's a triumphant, majestic day, confirming those in the faith and also shouting hosannas to the Lord for Palm Sunday. This really should be the highlight of Holy Week because it is a day of processions, a day of singing praises. It's a day of palm waving. I've always felt that this was the only time that Jesus really got the praise that he should have really received. When the Pharisees tried to stop them from praising him, Jesus told them that the very stones of the earth would rise up and give him the praise that he deserved. But there is a sadness in this day too, because Palm Sunday many times is not Jesus' day. Instead, it may be the crowd's day. They got all excited and waved their pom-poms. They figured now we can kick those Romans out. But crowds are fickle. They get on board. For some, you are liable to just get involved and start cheering, not really knowing what is going on. It was the disciples' day, too. It's as if they were yelling, "We're number one! We're number one!" You know, they argued who was going to be first and second in the kingdom. They said, "Man, we have arrived. Jesus is going to set up his earthly kingdom, and I'm going to get the number one seat, and you're going to get the number two seat." They were banking on this, but they're clueless. Here's my question for today. In that first Palm Sunday, where was Jesus at? Does anyone here remember what Jesus preached on Palm Sunday? And all of the cheering and everything, does anybody remember the sermon Jesus preached? Oh, I know that you got the Hosanna part down, but do you remember his message? If you want to follow along, it's in the Pew Bible, Luke chapter 19, verse 41 through 44, Pew Bible page 744. It is a message of great emotion. For Jesus wept as he approached Jerusalem, as he saw the city. You know, Jerusalem, dear friends, is the holy city. It's the place where God dwells. In the Old Testament, they called it Zion, for the Lord dwells there. It was the home of the prophets of Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Habakkuk. If you went to pray in Jerusalem, you went to pray in the very presence of God. And all the Passover pilgrims were coming to pray in the holy city. It was where the temple was, where they offered their sacrifices, where the high priest would walk through the Holy of Holies, and they would spread the blood of their lambs on the altar for the sins of the people. Jerusalem, oh Jerusalem, have you been there? They say the journey from Jericho to Jerusalem is an ascent. Jericho is 1,000 feet below sea level, and Jerusalem is up on a knoll, is 2,500 feet above sea level. And so as Jesus walked, he was constantly on a rise into the holy city. And as he came up over the last rise of the Mount of Olives, he saw Zion, the city where God dwells. Jesus saw the holy city with its massive walls. King Herod built the city in 37 BC, and the gilded roof of the temple, the holy place, and the marble walls, the colonnades, and as he came over the Mount of Olives, he saw Jerusalem, and it burst upon him as he sat upon the knoll. There Jesus wept, bawled his eyes out, "O Jerusalem, O Jerusalem." These were tears of great disappointment and sadness and heartache over their rejection of him. Jesus says, If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it's hidden from your eyes. Jerusalem means city of peace, but they didn't have a clue that peace was going to come through him. How long, Jerusalem? Jerusalem, I've longed to gather you together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you are not willing. Jesus says, you do not recognize the time of God's coming to you. You didn't know that this was God's time of visitation. And so as he came to this great city, Jerusalem, the holy place, he wept over it. That's what he did on Palm Sunday. Did you know that? If there is joy among the angels in heaven for all sinners who repent, then tears flow over all those who stubbornly reject him. Many of you have felt those tears. Steve Cohen, who grew up in a Jewish family, converted to Christianity, but he says for 8.5 years now, his Jewish mother has closed the door on him and said, I don't want to talk to you ever again. You are no longer my son. And some of you have had the same experience with your immediate family. They don't want to follow the Lord. They want to do their own thing. And you know, Jesus is no better at this than we are. He couldn't get them to change. They want to go and be their own kings. They want to live according to their own rules. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, if you only knew about God's visitation to you. This was supposed to be a great day when God's Messiah came to Jerusalem, the city of David. It was also here a message of judgment. Here is Jesus' sermon now. You wonder what Jesus preached on Palm Sunday? Listen to this. To Jerusalem, the days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. And so Jerusalem was destroyed in the year 70 AD by the Romans under the command of Titus. The Romans, who despised the Jews anyway, rode in with their armies under Titus, and they destroyed the city. Josephus writes about that. He gave orders that they should now demolish the whole city and temple except three towers, which he reserved standing. But for the rest of the wall that was laid so completely even with the ground that they dug it up from the foundation, that there was nothing left to make those believe who came near that there had been anything there before. Tyrannius Rufus, an officer in the army of Titus, with a plowshare, tore up the foundations of the temple that the prophecy might be fulfilled. Zion shall be plowed as a field. The Jews themselves set fire to the portico of the temple as they burned it to the ground. The only thing standing to this day is the Wailing Wall, one little piece. They ripped the foundations and everything out. It became for them a time of judgment. God's patience, dear friends, suffers long, but it is not without limit. Did you know that? He gives us a time of grace, amnesty, but it doesn't last forever. Are you aware? This is a hard word for Palm Sunday, isn't it? But it was Jesus' words. The callous heart, dear friends, is a cursed heart. For those who don't want Jesus, at some point, the door will close. It wasn't as if these Jews never had a chance. To them came the patriarchs, the prophets, the judges. To them came the very Word made flesh, Jesus, who was born in Bethlehem, who came first to the lost sheep of Israel. It wasn't as if they missed a paragraph or a sentence. They missed the whole thing. This is their Jerusalem, their temple, their kingdom, and they weren't going to give it up. And finally, God's door of grace slammed shut. God's patience suffers long, but it's not without limit. You know, dear friends, never has there been a people so blessed as we Americans with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. True? You know this word about Jesus is proclaimed on the radio, on the television, and on internet sites and on billboards. It's proclaimed in every kind of style that you could ever want. If you don't like solemn services, you can go to the contemporary service. If you want to say amen, go down the road to the Assembly of God Church or the Baptist Church. If you want to cross yourself, you can attend the Catholic Church on the other side of the block. But this word, don't tell me that it hasn't come to you. People have heard it over and over, yet they have rejected that message. You see, it's not the mistakes that causes God to lose heart, for Jesus to weep when he sees Jerusalem. It's the calloused heart. It's the heart that just doesn't want to give in. It's those who are standing there who do not want to open themselves up to the Lord Jesus Christ. When we establish strongholds as we say, I'm never doing that, that's what gets to him. And you need to know that anyone who wants to take that position, you will not meet a God of mercy on the last day, but you will meet a God of wrath. And it's a frightening thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. I can't say anything more serious to you than what I'm saying to you today. And you know that I love you. That's why I have to say these things. But we think sometimes that our God is something other than what he is. The psalmist says, you thought I was like you, but I will rebuke you, and I will curse you to your face. Consider this, you who forget God, I will tear you to pieces with none to rescue you. But the good news is this, dear friends. This is the day of God's visitation to you. Did you know that? God is coming to you right now today, even as I talk to you. Just as he rode into Jerusalem a long time ago, he rides into your hearts still today. You recognize today as the day of your salvation. He comes humbly, this Jesus. He doesn't come on a white stallion like a mighty warrior. He doesn't come on the shoulders of the disciples. He doesn't come on a rich man's camel. He comes humbly on a colt of a donkey. See him on this little colt, with his feet perhaps dragging on the ground. And because this great king comes, he comes to surrender. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. This great general, this great king, was coming to give his life on the cross for you and me. He came to die for all of our stubbornness and all of our rebellion. You don't have to be afraid of him anymore. He comes to save you, and he comes to bless you. You see, believing in Jesus is surrendering to him. Just letting him be the Lord of your life and letting him bless you. Have you not surrendered? Are you unwilling to let him be the king? You just hold on then, just like Jerusalem. If you are then, know that he is weeping over you today. You know the story of a man who falls over a cliff and he grabs onto a little branch and he's hanging by the skin of his teeth, and he looks up there, and he says, if there's anybody up there, please help me. And a voice comes from heaven, and it's the voice of Jesus, And he says, just let go. I'll catch you. And the man thinks for a while. And he says, is there anybody else up there? And I think that's just like so many in our church today. Why are we so afraid? I don't know why. We're not afraid. We are afraid to let Jesus be king. King of our lives, king of our pocketbooks, king of our homes, king of our marriage. Whenever you do get married, what are you afraid of? He is your Savior. He is your Lord. He comes only to bless you. You know, this was always Joe's problem. He always thought Jesus was coming to steal from him. You see, Joe liked Sunday mornings. He would get up as late as he wanted and veg out in front of the TV. And I'll be darned if anybody was going to take his Sunday morning from him. And you know, he knew that the church was going to ask him for money, and in no way was this guy going to let Jesus steal from him. But what he didn't understand is that Jesus is not the stealer. Who's the stealer? The devil. Listen to this from John 10. Jesus says, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me, Jesus says, will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief only comes to steal and kill and destroy. And you know who the thief is. It's the devil. And he will come into your family with all this junk and destroy your marriage. And he will steal our young people with drugs and alcohol. And I watched it every day of my life. And I see people go down one after the other. You want to know who the thief is? It's Satan, because he destroys people. He destroys our homes and our hearts and our lives. But Jesus, dear friends, only comes to bless you. He comes to give you what? He comes to give you peace in your heart. You know that you're going to live with him in heaven forever. He comes to give you forgiveness, free forgiveness. He comes to give you a sure foundation to know where you stand and be with the Lord forevermore. He comes to be your fortress in times of trouble, your strength within your heart. Jesus comes to only bless you, dear friends. See today, he comes riding on a donkey, the colt of a donkey, to the city of peace, Jerusalem, to place that peace in your heart. Don't be stubborn against him anymore. Don't let the devil steal from you again. Come and receive all that our King Jesus wants to give you and me today and every day throughout eternity. Let us confirm him today and always as our great King, this Jesus who comes riding on a donkey. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, both now and forevermore. Amen.